we're trusting God, but we're not going to like bring them into that because they would feel scared. That is like ludicrous. And instead, as a 10-year-old, getting to like see everybody in the family practice faith in God's provision and then see him provide, that gave us lots of confidence in God's provision. And I also had seen God be faithful in my childhood. And if you hadn't let me see the need, I would not have seen the faithfulness.
Well, welcome back, friends. This is Carrie.
And I'm Mindy.
And you're listening to God-Fearing Kids and the Parents Who Raise Them, a Christian parenting podcast. And we have a special guest with us today. As if you've been listening over the last episodes, you've heard some of our kids on these episodes. And this time we're honored to have our oldest daughter, Melinda, with us today. Hi, Mel.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
A blessing to have her with us.
Yeah, and Mel, as we said, is our oldest daughter. She's the second born in the family, and so she had an older brother. So, Mel, why don't you just fill us in on who you are and what you're going through in life right now?
Okay. So, I am the second oldest, the daughter, and I'm married to my husband for almost 5 years now, and we have a 2-year-old son and another little baby coming in May. And
yay.
Yes.
Yeah. And we're recording this in December.
So. Yeah. So a little ways to go. Yes. And yeah, stay at home mom stopped working when I was pregnant with my first. And so been doing that ever since, which is my dream job. So that's very wonderful.
I love to hear you say that that is your dream job. That's how I always felt too. And you're doing a very good job at it.
Right.
We're eager to hear more of your experience.
Yeah.
So, Mel, for the sake of listeners understanding what things were like in our home growing up, we're not in any way trying to just say, look at us, look at us, look at us. But we do believe God did some things mm-hmm. in our home that we would want to magnify because he did it. And so from your perspective, as a child growing up in our home and being one of the older ones, what did you observe in our home in terms of the environment, spiritual practices, the things you thought were beneficial?
Yeah. I think the environment was overwhelmingly positive, and a lot of people talk these days about like create a yes environment for your kids, or like a don't have there be lots of no's, which I think is really funny because I think it makes it sound like you can't have a positive, helpful place for your kids to thrive and feel safe if there's no's.
Mm.
But I don't think that that was the case for us at all, because if there needed to be a no, there was a no, you know, and that created the order and the safety and the boundaries that we needed to have such a positive. And me and my husband have had lots of conversations even before our first was born, thinking about what it will be like to have kids and what it would be like for them, like maybe with us not having as much money as you always wish you could have when you have kids, or thinking about like, well, are they going to be able to do all these activities every year and all that stuff? And just realizing, like, from my experience, it did not matter if we could do any extracurriculars in a year or we could do none because we had no money, or if we moved and there was a new school situation or new friends or anything, because our family was so stable and so happy that that was what made a good childhood, not those other things, you know, and not worrying about these pressures that everybody seems to have in our world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just always think of what people say, you know, what do they say? Like, I don't know. People talk about a small home is filled with love or something, you know, and all that. And I just felt like that was always true of us, whether we were in a nice big house or a teeny little one and everybody shared a bedroom. It was always just great, you know.
Yeah.
A great memory and a great environment. So
that's great. Or the big house where you shared a bedroom anyway.
Yeah, because your mom wanted you to.
Exactly.
We definitely experienced the gamut of all those things you described. Small houses, big houses, lots of money, no money. Well, I don't know if we ever had lots of money.
Lots is relative.
Yeah. We didn't never have lots when you guys were growing up, that's for sure. And so I appreciate your perspective. It's always good to hear that what we perceived actually is what you received, mm-hmm. you know, and so that's encouraging. Tell us about the spiritual side of our home, the practices and disciplines, and maybe even more importantly, how were you taught about relationship with Jesus and how was that nurtured in your life?
I do think about that a lot these days because my son can understand a little bit of things. And so I'm realizing like how I could tell him lots of stuff about Jesus and God. He always makes sure that we say Jesus and God. That's cute. And I think I remember doing that when I was a kid too. But it just is cool to look back and have some of my earliest memories, I think, are from being a three-year-old and knowing that in that time of life, I did know who Jesus and God were. And I did know by the time I had been, you know, by the time a couple years passed, I knew what Jesus had done for me and I knew the gospel and I had trusted him as my savior just through the conversation of that being a reality in our home, not something that was never mentioned mm-hmm. and not something that was only talked about in Sunday school because we went to Sunday school regularly. You know, we went to church regularly our whole childhoods. And so that was always there. But I don't have any main memories of learning something from church. I don't even know if I have any memories of learning something new from Sunday school because it was already taught and already talked about just like part of normal life.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that you never thought we couldn't understand something. And so even if you had to use really little kid words like Jesus washed away your icky sins and now you can go to heaven, you know, like stuff that's so basic and so like kiddish, that's what we believed in and that's what we prayed, you know, mm-hmm. and then it grew from there. And so then when they're talking about it in Sunday school and telling us to memorize John 3:16, I'm like, oh, I haven't memorized this verse yet, but all this verse is teaching is what I already know.
Yeah.
So I just think that was great. And so I think to myself, how can I be telling that to my son every day? And literally every time I try and tell him, I cry. So all he associates with the gospel is it makes mommy cry. I'm sure by the time he's 3 years old, he'll know that most of the time when I cry, it's a good thing.
Yeah. Just like your mom in that way.
I know. And especially with me being pregnant right now, cannot hold it back.
Yes.
But I would say like, growing from those young years of just having that foundation, you guys were purposeful to keep up with where we should be at in growth stage with the Lord. Just like you would keep up with your kid in reading or school, you know. So it's when you start to get, you know, 5 years old. I remember I was five when you drew our first job chart, which you've talked about on here before. So if people have been listening, they'll know. And if not, you should listen so you can know. And on there was the Bible, like read your Bible first thing in the morning with like the picture of your clothes to get dressed and your toothbrush, brush your teeth, make your bed. And so that to me, my first memory of having an instituted like regular time to try and be with the Lord was when I was five. And it was required 6 days, 5 days of the week as a part of our jobs. But I think that was really good because it just helped us start to expect that as like, this is a part of life and this should be a part of life. And if it's important to wake up and build habits of making your bed and brushing your teeth and getting dressed, like no parent would want their kid to reach adulthood and not care about or even have any habit of like brush your teeth, like basic hygiene. I think having the established like, also, you spend time with the Lord before you start your school or before you go to school or play or whatever, that just sets a precedent for your whole life that that's just as important. And obviously, as you get older, you realize it's more important than brushing right. your teeth.
Yeah, it's spiritual hygiene.
Yeah. And so I just had a little kid Bible with really nice pictures. And since I was learning to read, I was able to read some. And it did feel like a chore, but not in a bad way. I think that things feeling like chores is not bad.
Yeah.
And I think our soft culture should not run away if something feels hard or feels like a chore, because it teaches you that most things in life that are worth doing are not fun and easy and they're not something that you want to do every time. But I would read it, and sometimes it was like, oh, I enjoyed that story and I enjoyed reading it. Or sometimes it was like, oh, this is boring Old Testament stuff or whatever. But I just finished the amount that I was going to read, and then I would be done and I could be happy I did it and go from there, you know?
I wanted to say something based on what you're saying, just for the parents who are listening, that I remember Carrie and I having a conversation about, are we going to teach our children to be legalistic about having their quiet time? We are concerned, are we going to raise legalistic kids? And when they leave the home, are they going to become rebellious and absolutely not want to ever see a Bible again or, you know, something like that? We talked about it and we prayed about it. And what we concluded was, just like brushing your teeth or cleaning up your room, that is just a reality of life. And so we need to work hard at helping you kids come to love doing good things, love having responsibility, love reading your Bible. That's going to be take some effort, and that's going to be hard work. But we need to work at that instead of saying, no, we're not going to make them read their Bible because we're afraid they're going to become legalistic. We just need to be faithful to work hard at helping them to understand the heart of God and have the right mindset so that you kids wouldn't be thinking legalism. And so I just want to encourage you parents listening that don't run away from it because it can turn legalistic. Ask the Lord to help you to teach your child to have the right heart about it and to know His heart so that as they grow, they come to love that job on the chart.
Yeah, and they want to love it.
Right.
I remember that was a very clear stage for me between early elementary school and early high school was wanting to love it. And so asking God to help me love it, you know,
yeah.
I don't think I loved and felt that deep desire to read my Bible till maybe I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, I see the progress of how we got there because you guys made it seem desirable. And other people in the church who talk about how much God's word is meaningful, you know, put that inspiration.
Yeah.
But one thing that you made me remember saying you were concerned about being legalistic and what you should do. I remember sometimes we would, and this is like memories from when I was like 6 or 7, we would come to you and be like, well, I don't want to read my Bible or whatever, you know, or mom, it's hard to read this. It's just a bunch of names, you know, and you would literally say to us sometimes like, that's okay. I understand. Like, I feel that way too. Sometimes all I do in my quiet time on a day is just pray. And I remember the first time I heard that, I was like, you mean you can just pray sometimes? It was like, it took a load off my shoulders. And that was great because it made me realize like spending time with the Lord is not about do this, do this, do this, check, check, check. It's about being with Him in a relationship. And so if that means you just talk to Him, you talk to Him, you know, And that's great because lots of times now, especially being busy with my kid, I find sometimes my quiet time is me praying about something that's on my heart and I don't open my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. And if I didn't have my child, I would spend 4 hours praying and reading and journaling, but I only have 45 minutes. And so sometimes I just get the praying and the talking done, but that's what needed to happen that day.
Yeah. That's a very good point. Yeah.
And I also think your establishment of our routine of on Saturdays, we had a full day off and we didn't have to do any chores.
Yeah.
Including quiet time was good too.
Yeah.
Because that helped us realize God is happy for us to have this complete rest day of fun and playing, and we can watch some TV and nobody is feeling bad that we didn't read our Bible.
Yeah.
That was really good to establish balance too. So
that's good. And that would hopefully help the child to not move into legalism.
Right. And not to feel condemned if they forget or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And let me say a few things about this. I'm not sure if we've done an episode about Sabbath and a day off, a day of rest on this podcast. I'll have to look back through the archives if we haven't, and we should do one. But the things that Mel's talking about are our daughter Madeline talked about in the episode we recorded with her as well. And we would just give the kids a full day off. Mm-hmm. For them, it was usually Saturday and they could do whatever they wanted, you know, within reason, obviously. But, you know, they didn't have to have their quiet time. They could nap if they wanted. They could sleep in. They could, you know, stay in their jammies all day, didn't matter. And we saw that being based on the principle of Sabbath. that God knows as human beings, we need days of rest regularly. And that's what that was about, was to build those kind of cycles into the lives of our kids. And then another comment I wanted to make real quick on the legalism thing. Parents, if you have concerns about your kids being legalistic, that's a good concern to have. But keep in mind, at the heart of legalism is usually an intangible or unnoticed belief that if I do these things, it makes God happier with me. And happier is the important word, because God is always happy with us because we're in Christ when we're believers in Jesus. But this idea of legalism is that I can somehow merit something from God by doing these things, and I get on his good side, and just something akin to that. So that's what you're wanting to watch out for, is those kinds of attitudes developing in you or your kids. And that's what you're guarding against. Something else I wanted to ask you about is, you've mentioned before that being one of the older kids, you had the benefit of seeing the younger kids raised with kind of an awareness of what was going on because of your age. And so you've mentioned how that has informed and helped you as you've started having kids. So I'd love to hear you expound on that a bit and tell us maybe some examples of what that looks like in your world.
Yeah. It needs to be said that I got to have the benefit of that experience because of mom especially being so open and transparent. The older we got, the more transparent you were, which I think is good and appropriate, because how else are we going to learn to deal with life if our parents hide it from us when we're 17 years old, when you're about to graduate, you know, let alone all the stages of life you can learn about as you're getting older?
Can you explain what you mean by transparent?
Yeah, like, oh, we need to pray for rent money. Let's all pray. Not a like, oh, we can't tell the kids. We got to pretend like everything is fine. We're trusting God, but we're not going to like bring them into that because they would feel scared. That is like ludicrous. And instead, as a 10-year-old, getting to like see everybody in the family practice faith in God's provision and then see him provide, that gave us and me, and I know the other kids feel this way too, lots of confidence in God's provision. And now as a younger adult, that's an area I don't struggle with as much, because I just practice it since I was like 10 years old. And I saw you guys practicing it. And as a 10-year-old, of course, I had no idea the burden that not feeling like you have enough money is. But when those burdens came to me as a young adult, I knew what to do.
Yeah, that's a good way to...
And I also had seen God be faithful in my childhood. And if you hadn't let me see the need, I would not have seen the faithfulness.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
So thank you.
Very good.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's a great example.
Good. So that's just one thing. But you guys were transparent in all areas of life as we were getting older. As it was more appropriate for us to hear more reality, you were not hiding it from us. And so then when I'm 10 and our youngest sibling was born, as she's growing up, as she's a toddler, you're telling me, mom, like, so when she did this and threw a fit, this is why I spanked her, and this is what I'm thinking, and this, and I always make sure to tell her these things, and it's important to make sure you catch this attitude quick or whatever, you know, yeah, whatever the things are, just little things like that. And I just felt like going into parenthood, I did have a lot of confidence built in because I remembered that experience and seeing those things.
Yeah.
Because if it was just me and like my next closest sibling, and then that was it, I wouldn't have any memories to look back on of actual parenting of a baby or a toddler or a 5-year-old, because I'd be too young to remember. I think it also has just helped me realize, like, oh yeah, mom would always talk about this when the youngest was little and I was like 11, but I don't really remember, so I should ask about it, or, you know, whatever, because I know she would know exactly what she did. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of has made me realize to be, so to speak, aware of my lack, if that makes sense, and to ask questions.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, I think that's, my goodness, a full response that was. There's so much there we could talk about. I just want parents to notice, first of all, regardless of the age gap between kids and the situation, that issue of transparency is huge. You said as you got older, we were more transparent with you. Another way I would say it is, as the child gets older and more mature, you as a parent need to become more instructive, not in a micromanaging way, but in a life equipping way.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to face this. This is how you need to think about it. Those kinds of things. And I grew up in a home where that was not even on my radar. And I watched your mom do that. And I was like, wow, that's a great idea. You know, and so we, you know, I learned from her as well.
And just to kind of explain to you parents listening, my heart behind that was, you know, like what Melinda was saying, I'm disciplining our 2-year-old and she's watching. Well, I'm thinking to myself, Melinda's going to be a mom one day. So I want her to understand my thinking behind what I did with her. So I was always thinking, I want my children to be prepared for life. Like if I'm going through a hard emotional time one day and my kids notice it, I want them to know later on at the end of that day what I went through and what God showed me and how I became strengthened and encouraged, because I want them to learn how to depend on the Lord when they have a hard day. So it's that mindset of I'm training my child in every way they should go.
That's very good. And let me make a distinction there. There's a massive difference between doing what you just described and making your child your emotional support.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a huge difference. You shouldn't just be dumping everything on your child and letting them sit in it. If you're going to share things, it's got to be when you're done with the process, like Mindy described, and here's what I learned and here's what the Lord did, and you're helping them unpack it rather than just dumping your burdens on them and, you know, somehow receiving solace in your own soul from doing that.
Or if you're not done with the hardship, telling your child, I'm really having a hard time, but Dad and I are praying about it. And it'd be great if you wanted to pray for me too, but God's going to help us, you know, knowing that your burden is with the Lord, not with your child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to make that distinction, but
yeah,
that's a good point. And also we would be honest with, you know, things that might have gone on with you kids at school, if someone mistreated you or if a teacher did something that wasn't good or, you know, things like that. We would not be afraid to tell you the right and wrong of the situation just because it was a teacher.
Right.
Because we wanted you to think God's way about it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I literally remember you telling me like, oh yeah, that child throwing a tantrum on the playground is not obeying their mommy. Isn't that sad? You can pray for them, you know, and hopefully their mommy will be able to help them, you know. And that was just like the reality to grow up in and to just know the difference between what is okay and what's not. And if someone's allowing something that's not okay, it didn't mean that you excused it, you know?
Yeah. And it really shaped your thinking because you have raised your boy who's 2 years old now. He's very well behaved. Your oldest brother and sister-in-law, they have 4 boys and they've raised them very well. And so that's a very important thing for us to realize as parents, that training your children in those ways will help them be good parents themselves.
Yeah, that's true. So you started my parenting journey when I was 2.
So Mel, let me ask you a question about that scenario you just described where your mom was telling you about the boy disobeying his mom. Why did that not make you judgy? Why did that not make you become a little Pharisee where you're just critical of everybody's behavior around you?
I think that especially at that age, you're just so open and desirous to, if you have a good relationship with your parents, because I know that some kids have bad negativity from birth, you know, and then you probably don't feel so open to your parents. But if you don't have that situation, when you're 2 or 3 or 4, you just want to please your parents and everything they say is absolute truth. And so if your mom is telling you something and being very purposeful, which she always was, to talk about how Jesus loves them and how, you know, maybe the emotion God or Jesus would feel about a child disobeying is sadness and love and compassion and mercy, then she was always communicating that. And so as a 5-year-old, there was no doubt in my mind, like if you see someone having a struggle thanks to their own sin or their parents' sin, that's sad, and it should evoke compassion and prayer and love, not judgment and criticism, because mom was not ever critical or judgmental. I mean, and then like when you get older, and I think it's easier for older kids to be critical because you really are able to start to see this is right and I was raised in the right and it has these good effects and I can see the wrong out there and the bad effects, and it's easy to, in your own thinking as a, you know, young teenager or young adult, be more critical in your immaturity. Still, mom was always like, well, I think, you know, if that sounds kind of critical to me, do you think that that's how Jesus is thinking about it? Do you think Jesus would want you to be critical towards them in that situation, you know? And sometimes I remember being surprised because mom has a gift of exhortation. There's never a minute where she is not like, this is wrong, this is right. You know, it's everything is black and white. And yet for her to speak, reminding me as like a 17-year-old of maybe I was being critical of someone in the church or something, of the compassion of the Lord and the attitude of love he still wants us to have first and foremost was surprising, because here I'm expecting her and her gifting to agree with me. But that was just really helpful. And I think that it's those attitudes that parents have that truly do come from the Lord and evidence of their relationship with the Lord and their humility that really rub off on the kids. Mm. It's not just the words you said about like, look, this is the difference between right and wrong. See, here's an example. That's all good, but it's the attitude that you expressed through it every time of the heart of God that stuck, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And that really drives home the point of how we have shared many times in our podcasts of how the relationship that the parents have with the Lord is foundational.
Yeah. Because if that was not your heart, it would not have come through.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that's a great point. I was just going to say, parents, that I hope you can see in this illustration how important it is that you are growing in the Lord. Because if Mindy had not been growing in the Lord, she wouldn't have been viewing it that way. She probably would have been critical just like Mel was. And both of them would have spiraled in a bad direction as a result. But her maturity in the Lord helped her to see, no, God's view is toward this is yes, he's concerned about the behavior, but he's compassionate and he's gracious. He's full of mercy and love, you know, all those kinds of things.
And isn't it true, parents, that when you're raising children, you're very aware of your attitude towards life, towards people? And I can tell you so many times that the Holy Spirit was so close to me, whispering in my ears, make sure, Mindy, that you're showing your children what I think, you know, and that you're not being judgmental, critical, you know, unloving, whatever. God is so faithful, you know, especially if we as parents ask him, give me wisdom and give me humility so that I will raise my child in the way he should go, he or she should go, and God will be faithful. And in those moments, you know, I could have been feeling critical, but the Holy Spirit said, no, you need to tell Melinda what I think about it, you know,
right,
not what you're feeling. So praise the Lord for his faithfulness.
Yes.
So Melinda, you have a 2-year-old. It's been a joy watching you raise him, you and your sweet husband. And so he's 2 years old, and this is, we have discovered that this stage of training in the quote-unquote terrible twos, which we don't like to call it terrible twos, we like to say the terrific twos. It's like the first hard challenge many times for parents, where the will of the child comes out. And it's a good thing, because at this stage, the child learns a lot about life and about themselves, but it's very important for the parent to establish control and to help their child to develop self-discipline, self-control.
Yeah.
And so what would be some things that you would like to tell the parents out there that has helped you help your son to be obedient?
Yeah. Well, it's funny looking back, because I guess it's still so fresh because he's only been out for 2 years, is I feel like it started, like the first discipline he ever had was when he started crawling at like 8 months, you know. But that, to me, I see the foundation of that even now, you know, a year and a half later. And I understand sometimes you don't, so to speak, start on your discipline ideals that early, and that's okay because it's never too late. But it really was helpful to see, like, his will is starting to come and he's starting to explore, and the electrical outlets or whatever, you know, or the law has to be laid down right away, and there has to be no compromising. And I just feel like that, if you can go into it with that attitude as a parent, from those small moments that are, especially if your child maybe is not as strong-willed personality-wise, because like for my son, he is not as strong-willed. But then when he got closer to turning 2 years old, his will really came out. Like it was like a light switch. It was like one day he has will. And I was like, wow, this is what everybody talks about. Because it just was like a force, you know? But even starting at 8 months when he wasn't so forceful in his will, having that uncompromising, if this needs to be the boundary, we are not going to waver on it no matter what happens. And so in each situation, God will help me know what discipline is appropriate, what is needed, where we need to adjust if something's not helping, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's made a huge difference thinking of it that way from day one. And now that his willful light switch has turned on and he's two, and every week it feels like last week's challenge was this, but now this week's challenge is this, you know.
Yeah.
And it's new and it's different, and he's never fought us about this thing before. It's like still the same foundation of, well, you obey mom and dad. That is never wavers. And you do not throw fits and scream and cry and run away and kick. And because he does all kinds of things to start throwing a tantrum. And those have always been our, like, this does not happen and it will always have a spanking. And so he doesn't throw tantrums or have major meltdowns as a 2-year-old because that has been taught to him that that's not what you do.
Yeah.
And that it's going to be stopped right away with fierce love.
Yeah.
And usually that means a spanking and then a big hug.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great way to describe it. Fierce love. I love that because that's how our God is.
Yeah.
He loves us fiercely, and that means he will discipline us strongly when needed.
When needed. Yeah. And sometimes you can be more patient or slower with certain things, but if a screaming tantrum is happening, that being slow and gentle is unloving, in my opinion. And I think in God's too.
Yeah.
Because you're allowing your child to just live in their selfish little emotions and freak out, which is making them unhappy and it's making everybody else unhappy. And it's not honoring the parents or the Lord. And I tell him that. I tell him it makes Jesus sad when he disobeys.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to mean something to him.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And it was really sweet. A couple days ago, I was saying that, and he was like, and God. And I was like, wow, he really gets it. Because I know that since he started to take part in the conversation, he really understands that disobeying mommy makes Jesus and God sad.
That's so great.
That is precious.
I like how you made the point, especially those parents who have little babies, how important it is that you establish the foundation of, basically you established with your little baby boy, obeying mommy and daddy is what matters. And this is what you're going to do. And we're going to help you do it. So every little stage, either with a flick on the hand, because they reach out to touch the outlet, or a swat on the fat side of their little chubby leg, however you would do it, but you're sticking to it, you're being unmoving, so to speak. I mean, of course, there's always exceptions out there, parents, but we don't establish good habits through exceptions.
Yeah.
We establish good habits through consistency.
And if I may, let me back up a step from where you were just talking and highlight what Mel said, that there was a point early on before the discipline even started that she made up her mind that there's going to be boundaries for his good. And that has to be in place before you ever get to the point of needing to decide if you're going to spank your child or not. You've got to already have it settled that I am going to be the authority in this relationship for this child's good, because God has given me and placed me in that place of responsibility. So it's really got to be a heart conviction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's so hard, so much hard work. And I remember after he was crawling and there was a few days in a row of needing to do lots of discipline, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so much work. And I was like, I know it was a lot of work, but now I really know, you know? And I remember telling my husband, like, because he takes care of our son one day a week, most weeks, so I can have like a little break, which is awesome. But I remember like preparing him a couple times, like, you probably are going to have to be very on it with this because he's been learning this. And so you might have to be, feel like you're just over and over going over the same thing. And maybe there'll be a couple spankings and you have to be vigilant. And it is not a day off just because you're not at work. Does not mean it's off. And he is very good to understand that my job is just as hard as his or more so some days. And so that's good. But
yeah.
But yeah, having your mind made up of what you're going to stick to as a couple or as a parent individually, you have to do it. I always remember hearing you say one time, Dad, when I was an older kid, parents have to be stronger willed than their children. And that's always been something that I've remembered. And I always find myself asking the Lord for wisdom in that because I realized that growing up how I did and being raised with good discipline and I had a healthy environment where spanking was used and so I don't have baggage and trauma or anything, I could be very, I like to call spank happy. Mm. I could just be like, the rod is the answer and just go at it because I'm very comfortable with that. And so I find myself always having to ask the Lord for balance and wisdom and to especially recognize those times that the spanking discipline has been helpful, but maybe it's a harder issue and we need to take the next time to approach it maybe differently because my son already had 3 spankings about this in the last 2 days and we need to see something else. And I think it would be very easy for me to become a parent that spanks wrongfully.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. I'm so comfortable with it.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I'm glad you brought that up because you're basically just saying that you need to seek God's guidance and wisdom in how to parent your child.
Yeah.
In regards to spanking. And that's how it should be as a Christian in all areas of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so another reason, parents, why you need to be close to the Lord, but when you're in this training time with your young kids, there are going to be times when it's okay to spank, but God is saying, this is not best right now. Your child needs some other form of discipline. Or I think we've even mentioned on an episode before where God led Carrie to have mercy on our son and not spank him when he could have clearly spanked him and it would have been very appropriate. And that situation actually God used to really help our oldest son. I remember that. I think he mentioned that, but so that's a good example that we need to be surrendered and seeking the Lord all the time. Don't get too confident in anything. Oh, this is going well. My children are obeying and we're doing really good and forget about God's guidance every moment of the day.
Yeah, that's yeah. very, very good. And Mel, could I ask you to speak directly to the hearts of parents who have been or are in the shoes that you're in, where they're in the middle of that 2-year-old training time and it's been 2 days of the same thing over and over and over, and the kid is still digging their heels in, and emotionally that parent is just like about to just throw in the towel, and they're just at their wit's end. What have you found beneficial in those moments?
Well, it's funny because I was going to say I can't think of an example where I've had that long stretching of an issue, but actually that's not true because we have constant desires of not to want to eat any more food issues, which I think is just so common for little kids. I remember being that little kid. But I mean, it's hard for me to be able to say like, oh, well, this is my thinking and this worked. And so you should too, because I don't think it's that cookie cutter. That's why this is hard, because it is not ever a formula other than rely on the Lord for wisdom and maintain your boundaries. But it's like within that tiny formula, there's so many variations that God could have you do at any time. I remember feeling very frustrated. Maybe this was the first time I felt that way when our son was not obeying me about dropping his cup off his tray just over and over. And I understood like it's a learning stage where kids are figuring out cause and effect. And if I drop it, it falls and then they get it. And it's like, a game and they just want to keep doing it because they just want repetition. And I understood that. So I had some compassion for him, but also I was like, but we're also not going to let this give an excuse for him to not obey me when I tell him no after we've done it five times. Mm-hmm. It's like game time is over. Now it's time to obey. And I felt really frustrated because spanking a couple times was not helping. And I was kind of like, what are you supposed to do? And so I remember telling mom about this and she said, oh yeah, I remember things like that happening. And sometimes you just have to be done spanking and ask the Lord to help you figure out something else. And she gave me great advice of if you can take the thing away so they don't have that opportunity to keep disobeying, do it. And I was like, oh, duh, why didn't I think of that? And so it really helped to have that different option, give him a break and give me a break of just not letting him have his cup for the next couple meals. And then I'd give it to him like after he was done eating, because he's always been a good water drinker while he's playing. So it's not like I was worried he wasn't going to drink water or something. Mm-hmm. But that just helped. I almost felt like it helped give him a break from the repetition of just like his mind was not getting it.
Yeah.
And so that was the wisdom I needed from the Lord through mom to help him have a break from that so that the next time the discipline was practiced, he got it.
Yeah.
And I know that like our brain chemistry actually works that way where you learn something and you practice something and you need a break. And during the break is when your brain actually learns the thing.
Kind of settles in.
Or like during your sleep or something. And so I felt like that was just an example of one way that God helped me realize, oh, it doesn't always have to be you disobey, you spank, you disobey, you spank 50 times over and nothing changes. I think if nothing's changing, that might be a sign of take a step back and figure out maybe something else God would have you do.
In your little example, which is a great example, you didn't lower your standard or boundary. Mm-hmm. You kept your standard that he needs to obey you there. You didn't give up and you didn't give in.
Yeah. That I think that's one thing that's stuck with me since he's been born is consistency is the only way. Hmm. Whether it's sleep training or sleep regression or feeding schedule, whatever's hard, you got to be consistent with your standard and with how you're going to do things. Yeah. And so, yeah, if I would have left the cup with him and been like, okay, you know what? For the rest of the day, this rule doesn't apply. That would have been horrible to do.
Yeah.
Because it would have just taught him, oh, I don't have to obey mom about dropping this off. And I can do what I want. And then if I tried the next day to tell him, okay, no more doing that. He's, you know, 11 months old. He doesn't understand today it's an exception, tomorrow it's not.
Yeah.
He just needs to know the consistency. And so getting him away from the ability to disobey me is what he needed so that he could just maintain the rule, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very important at this stage with 2 and 3 year olds, many times parents will give in because the child's not getting it, or they, in their own spirit, they're giving up. Mm-hmm. But a good way to think about it, parents, is that God keeps his holy standard and he tells us to be holy as he is holy. So that's the highest of the highest, right? But he has ways to help us through his Holy Spirit and in Christ living through us. And there's all different ways that he helps us to obey him, but he never changes his or lowers his standard. So we as parents need to be the same way. But knowing that backing up like you did with the cup and giving it a break, you gained clarity. It helped your son gain clarity and be able to the next day to do it. So that can be encouraging to parents listening that you don't have to give up on your godly standard of obedience, but God might want to show you a different way at any given time.
Or a different timetable.
Yeah, timetable.
You know, because if you realize what's really happening here is our children, like God trains us, are being trained step at a time how to obey. Mm-hmm. We think about our process. We call it sanctification. It's a process of becoming more and more like Christ. And it happens through obedience and then not obedience and then discipline for the not obedience and then more obedience. And it comes over time. And our children have to have the same process in the practical things. So we can't come toward our toddler with an attitude of you're going to obey me by the time I'd spank you 3 times or we're really going to have a war here. You know,
yeah.
No, what you did was wise. You took the cup away. You didn't give him the opportunity to disobey anymore. Then you came back to it the next day or the next day and you started again and you were patient with the training.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important.
Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the biggest takeaway for me is consistency and patience. Cause yeah, the standard of time shouldn't be the same as what I think it should be all the time. And if they're going through a learning stage that their brain is developing and their emotions are developing and they're getting a handle on it, I don't ever want to ignore the reality of that, even though that should not rule our lives, if that makes sense. I think a lot of advice out there in the world is like, oh, these are the stages they're going through. And so if they're in this stage, it is in charge of your life until they're out of it. And there's nothing you can do except have compassion.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, but I can help him in that stage and still learn how to obey or have self-control by not throwing a tantrum with the understanding and the compassion that it's probably harder for him right now because of the stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe that would mean I say, okay, you're not eating all your 5 bites and this is turning into a meltdown. So let's do one more bite. And you don't throw a fit. And so he gets disciplined. And then we take him out of his chair and we hug him and we have a great time loving him. And I praise him for obeying and not throwing a fit. And we move on and it's done.
Yeah.
That was a recent thing that happened this last week because I was just like, wow, we are having such a hard time about just finishing the couple bites I asked him to finish.
And, yeah.
And a couple spankings didn't help. And I'm realizing that we're getting into the territory of needless punishment because it's just not clicking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's probably all because of his stage of emotional growth he's going through.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
But it's like, I still punished him for throwing a tantrum.
Yeah.
But then we could be done eating and we could leave the situation behind.
That's good. So yeah. You're actually freeing him up from the weight that he's experiencing of emotion and strong will and all that. You're actually helping him, just like God's grace helps us mm-hmm. to obey. You're helping him develop patterns of obedience instead of just this hard taskmaster. If I don't do the right thing, I'm going to be whipped, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the wisdom of the Lord that I see that he's giving you in that those situations.
Yeah. And as I think about situations like that, I don't know if you ladies are this petty about things like this, but I realize stepping back from it when I'm in that scenario that the frustration I'm feeling is an indicator of my own selfish desire to get this over with and to stop having to deal with this issue. It's not a reflection of my child's having a hard time and I really want them to get this. Do you see the difference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've got something in me that's just wanting to be done with this. Mm-hmm. And I have to be aware of that. I can't lay that on my kid like a template and make sure he adheres to this because that's just going to frustrate him. It reminds me of the verse in Ephesians, fathers, don't exasperate your children. I think that's a way we do it, is by trying to make them toe the line so that we are not frustrated.
Yeah.
Rather than toe the line so that they learn to obey with wisdom and with a good attitude.
And all the more reason for us to be dependent on the Lord ourselves so that we can be at peace when we're training our kids, not uptight and irritated. And
yeah.
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 And that, I mean, I know that comes through to the kids, whether you ever say, you're frustrating me.
Yeah.
Or whatever. If you just know, you know, if your dad is the kind of dad that better not upset him, oh boy, yeah. kind of thing. Yeah. Or if they're not that way, you know that and you have that peace and more freedom in that relationship. Like, because it's like God is long suffering with us.
Yeah.
He's not making us toe the line before we frustrate him or we would all be dead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. His loving kindness is better than life, yes. the scripture says.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah. thankful for yeah. that.
So Mel, thank you so much. This has been a great conversation. We as your parents are very proud of you and James
Thanks.
And the work you're doing with your little boy. And we'd like to ask you if you wouldn't mind praying for our listeners as we wrap up.
Yeah. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your wisdom and presence with us. And I thank you for your heart towards us as our Father.
Yes.
And I I thank you for the wisdom and humility that you have given in our family through my parents and passing it down through the generations to have good parenting experiences that glorify you and honor you and can raise kids that love you and fear you. And Lord, I ask that you would put that passion and burden in the hearts of people listening that you are calling to this, Lord, that you would bring the clarity and wisdom that is needed for anyone frustrated, Lord, and discouraged, that you would bring your grace and mercy and provision and yes, all that they need, just as you give me all that I need every day. And I just ask above all else, you would not let us as parents stop relying on you and stop seeking on you, and we would not stop listening to you when we feel in our heart that, you know, maybe we need to try something new, or maybe I'm starting to get too harsh or too legalistic, or maybe I'm starting to relax the boundaries out of my own insecurity or my own tiredness and laziness or fear. I guess that first and foremost, we would not stop listening to your spirit as he points those things out and as you help us get back on the track that we need. I thank you for the way that you've made people to be resilient and the way that you've made kids to be resilient, so that even when we do mess up, we can come back and try again and they are not permanently damaged. That is a great blessing. Thank you so much for your grace. In your name we pray. Amen.
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 We invite you to check out all the podcasts we produce through Morning Mindset Media. There's another one that Mindy and I do together and a daily devotional podcast to get your mind aligned with the truth of God's Word. Go to morningmindsetmedia.com.
This was like, so is your mom going to be like, here, listen to this episode? And I was like, no.
Mel, why don't you just give us a quick rundown of your situation, who you are, where you live? Not, you know, you don't have to go specifics on that, but, you know, what your situation is. Better. Let me say all that again.
Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Blooper material.
What's your situation?